Sheku Kane Mason is just 20 years old, and he's already had so many fabulous experiences. He performed at the royal wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle in 2018, and then 2 years prior to that, when he was only 17, he won the BBC's Young Musician Competition, and he got some interesting advice from Nicola Benedetti. You'll hear about that and much more on this week's edition of New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. Sheku, I know that you have grown up in a very musical household. You have six siblings who are all musicians. Why has music become such an important part of all of your lives and your childhood?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It wasn't like a big plan from my parents. It was more just, I guess we grew up hearing it and had the opportunity to have lessons, and it kind of grew from there, and we all, yeah, really, really love it.
And you all play different instruments, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, one of either piano, violin, or cello.
And how did the cello become your instrument?
I think just from hearing and seeing it made me want to play. And I remember when I was younger, listening to lots of recordings of cellists and watching videos, and that's what inspired me to want to do it, I think, the most.
I know that you and your siblings appeared on Britain's Got Talent. What was that experience like?
It was a fun experience and a bit different. It was nice to have the experience of performing live on TV. Was interesting, and it was just a really fun experience, I guess.
And how was that different, say, than competing in the BBC Young Musician Competition in 2016, which you won?
I felt it really pushed me to practice a lot more than I was before I entered the competition, and it gave me a real thing to focus on. And it was, also such an inspiring experience to be competing alongside some other really amazing young musicians. Having a music competition is kind of, in some ways, really, really amazing, and you learn so much from that and you get to perform. Of course, actually judging two musicians against each other in a way doesn't really make sense, but I really enjoyed the experience of it there.
Nicola Benedetti, who was also a past winner of that award, offered you some advice. What did she suggest to you? Can you share it?
Oh, it was a lot to do with really trying to get to know what I want as a musician and what I want to say with my playing, and to always allow your personality and what you believe in to come through when you perform. And also she gave advice on taking your time in terms of career things, because it is very easy to say yes to lots of things and find yourself having no time to yourself and no time to develop. And so I've always been very careful in saying yes to lots of wonderful opportunities, but also always making sure nothing doesn't allow me to properly focus on developing.
Are you still attending the Royal Academy of Music?
Yeah, I'm in my third year there now.
And how does that work with your busy touring schedule? And I know your siblings are there too, so you probably run into each other once in a while.
Yeah. It's I love being based at the Academy and being based in one place where there's lots of young musicians also. It's really inspiring to be in that environment and to be pushed by my teacher every week. But then also having lots of things outside as well. It's a nice balance of things at the moment.
Your parents made a lot of sacrifices to support you and your siblings to ensure that you would have the musical education that you deserved. And not all young musicians have that support, and some aren't even aware of what opportunities are out there. How do you think that impacts the classical music world overall? Do you think it might be preventing maybe more diversity on the concert stage?
Yeah, I think opportunity to firstly hear this music, but also opportunity to have great lessons and things is probably the most important thing in terms of having the opportunity to learn. And I think more people having those opportunities would definitely create more diversity on the concert stage. And I'm so grateful to have had amazing support and amazing opportunities. And these are opportunities that every child should have. That's a case of a change maybe in the priorities in the education system.
Your new recording is your second release, and it gives you the chance to work with one of your heroes, Sir Simon Rattle. Why is he one of your heroes?
He's such an amazing musician, and I grew up listening to lots of recordings of him with the CBSO and then watching performances, videos of him conducting the Berlin Phil and now the LSO, and always conducts with character and expression being the first priority. And yeah, it was amazing to work with him.
What did you learn from him in making this recording?
I really enjoyed the constant searching for ideas and ways of expressing this amazing music. And it wasn't like we had an interpretation and we were going to present that. It was more of a feeling of exploring, and I really loved that experience.
Did you really start to plan this project over a game of football in his backyard?
I went over to Berlin to play to him and to play the concerto with him, and he mentioned that his son loves playing football. I really love playing football as well. So the three of us had a quick game afterwards, which is a perfect end to any day, I think.
And so by football, do you mean soccer?
Yes. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, soccer.
Yeah, we wouldn't want your hands to get damaged or anything. Keep those protected.
No, I mean, I suppose you can damage your hands doing.
So when you talked about the concerto, are you talking about the Elgar concerto?
Yes, the Elgar.
So how does it feel to be able to perform this work and make your own statement with this very famous work?
It's, yeah, lovely to be able to share my ideas and thoughts about this piece in this recording. I love the kind of intimacy of this, and it's so deeply sad and really, really moving, I think, because of how subtle and fragile it is. It's like, I think the most beautiful and human pieces of music are often the most fragile, the kind of feeling that it could be broken at any point. And I think that's such a special part of this piece of music.
Jacqueline Dupre's recording of the Elgar Concerto has been a real inspiration for you. What about her performance do you most admire?
I've always been a massive fan of her playing, and I really love the freedom in which she plays the cello, and she, whatever she feels, she kind of does, and there's no barrier between what she thinks and what comes out, I feel. And that kind of directness and meaningfulness, I think, is really, really special.
All of the pieces on your new recording are connected in some way. Can you explain how they're connected?
Well, I wanted the main piece to be Elgar Concerto, and then and the pieces around there to be connected either by also being by Elgar or by other British composers, and that goes back to the two English folk songs I also included, and also some pieces that were written at a similar time, so just after the First World War, and I think they therefore share a kind of feeling and an emotion in that way. I'm also I'm very inspired by the string playing in the early 1920s and around at the time that the Elgar Concerto was written, and listening to those recordings kind of inspired a lot of the choices of pieces I had.
The recording opens up with an arrangement you created of a traditional folk tune, Blow the Wind Southerly. What significance does this folk song play in your life?
I first heard it maybe a couple of years ago. And there's an amazing recording of Kathleen Ferrier singing it. I think it was made in 1940-something. I can't remember the exact year. But what really struck me about that recording was it's just the song without any harmony, any accompaniment, just the solo voice. And the range of colour she has in her voice is really, really special. And the cello is such a great instrument at singing, and just cello on its own, I think, is such a special thing, and that's why I made the arrangement for solo cello.
We also hear Nimrod from Elgar's Enigma Variations, probably the most familiar section of that work. How did the arrangement for six cellos come to be, and are you featured on all of the cello parts?
No, all of the cello parts, and for the Nimrod and the Hymnus and the Fourier Elegy, I assembled, I guess, an ensemble of cellists that I know. So some of my teachers and old teachers and people who have coached me, and lots of old friends. And it was really nice to come together to record some pieces. And the arrangement of Nimrod was made by Simon Parkin. And I think it's such a great arrangement. And the sound of six cellos is such an amazing one. And I think what also this arrangement brings out is the amazing way the individual lines move in the way this piece is written. I think it's beautiful.
There is a piece that features you with one of your brothers. He's playing violin. Tell me about this arrangement, and was it created especially for the two of you?
Yeah, so this arrangement is one that we both made together, and have performed many times, and it's always amazing playing with Brimer, and this piece is one of my favourite pieces, and so it was really nice to be able to record it. And I think the cello and violin are my two favourite instruments, and so it's nice having them together in duet.
Who's the guitarist featured on the brand new arrangement of Scarborough Fair?
He's one of my best friends. His name's Plinio Fernandez, and we live in a flat together, as well as my brother, and we play a lot together. And it's always really lovely playing with him. And I think the combination of cello and guitar is quite a special one, and kind of encourages the more subtle and special colours that the cello can have. And this arrangement of Scarborough Fair, also done by Simon Parkin, is a really amazing arrangement, and it's so nice to be able to play this folk song, which I really have always really loved, and to play it with a guitarist.
So you're 20 years old. You've had a lot of incredible opportunities and experiences already. Do you ever just kind of pinch yourself to remind yourself that this is all real?
I don't know. My main focus is always develop as a musician, and my main goals are usually to do with how I want to play, and all of these amazing opportunities are kind of part of that development. And what I'm always searching for is the most convincing and expressive way to play the music that I'm playing, and that's what I practice for, I think.
Sheku Kenny Mason, a new recording, his second release, celebrating music of Elgar and much more. If you're enjoying new classical tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. Thank you to Valerie Kaler, the producer of New Classical Tracks. I'm Julia Mocker.